The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's the best one right there.
It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined as always with Kyle and Hank, boys.
Hello.
Or should I say boy, Hank is once again out.
Another bye week.
Another bye week, just like around Thanksgiving time where, you know, Menards gets busy for Thanksgiving. They're once again busy for Christmas, so he's working a little OT.
I think the holidays are tough on Uncle, too. I think there's some turmoil there. It's not a. It's like Hank said himself. Actually, it's not a goodbye. It's just to see you soon.
Yeah, that's so what he.
He'll be back.
That's what he texted us in the group message. So he'll be. He better be back next week. But we won't have, according to Hank. But that doesn't matter that much. Kyle, we need to pretend to, you know, celebrate this like we haven't already. But congratulations on the Green Bay Packers.
Thank you.
Winning the NFC North. Kyle,
congratulations to you, too.
Hey, thank you. You know, I am part owner. You're a season ticket holder, and
we have
a podcast talking about it. So I think this is how one talks about the football team. But yes, it's, you know, after the 2018 season, it really made you kind of, you know, value these a little bit more. But now the third year in a row, it's just kind of like, whatever at this point.
Unfortunately. I'm conflicted. And we talk all the time about being spoiled and entitled fans. And yeah, this is just kind of another indication of that where I just, I you know, it's cool to win the division, but it's just so like the only thing I really like about winning the division is it guarantees a home playoff game.
Right.
Which, by the way, actually, we already have our tickets, our section and seats. So I'll be.
I saw they were all booked up this year, too. I think
the
last couple
in attendance for the home games. But yeah, it's just, I mean, the NFC North, I mean, maybe it feels different this year just because the NFC North is such a joke. And it was never, I mean, there's 3 weeks left. It's already clinched. Like, there was no type of sweat.
Yeah, it really should have been last week just with, once again, how terrible the NFC North. I mean, anyone who had to sit through that game on Monday night between the two. Well, I don't even know. How would you rank the other NFC North teams right now after the Lions do us a favor?
4A, B, and C.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if I'm rooting for one of them, it's the Lions. It's hard not to like that team at this point.
Yeah,
but
I have always, I don't know how to put this. I guess liked the Lions. I always liked their fan. They always seem, the most self-aware. Like they're very self-deprecating because they know, you know, how bad they really have it. And so I've always appreciated that. It's just the Vikings, you know, they just have this weird unearned arrogance, and that's what's off-putting. But the Lions, they're kind of like the lovable losers.
They haven't earned anything, at this point.
It's, but neither are the Vikings, but they
at least they've had. They do. Yeah, you're not wrong. The Vikings are just such a weird team if you're a fan of them because, as we've always said, obviously they haven't accomplished anything, but they also have the most wins and the highest winning percentage of any team in the NFL that hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Which, I mean, cool. Like, yeah, that's
I know.
Worst
I know.
Stat I've ever heard.
Legitimately, like, there's no worse team you could root for.
What is, because it's like, you know, you get a little taste of victory, but then never the whole meal.
What was that hand motion?
Like a little, just a little taste.
A little taste, a little, you know, a little.
Just a little spritz.
A little diddle, yeah.
Well, how many teams haven't won the Super Bowl? Sorry to put you on the spot like this, but it's got to be like
the Lions, the Vikings.
I would have guessed like what, 10 plus?
The Bengals, yeah. Yeah, it's
damn
something
it, that's
like
why
that.
We need Hank. Shit.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have been quick to update us on that. But I mean, God, even just talking about the Lions, they're once again, like we say more than anything else on this, we're so damn blessed. Mm. You know, we don't even care about the stupid shirts we could buy right now. Mm. And you know, if you're like a Lions fan, the number one selling item from their pro shop would be a title if they ever eventually got one. But yeah, Packers won on Sunday. If anyone forgot, I'm sure you didn't. 31-30. We will talk about the game. We'll have our pick six, having the six plays that shaped the game. After that, we'll talk about the offense and defense. We'll have take news once again. I mean, God, it would have aged pretty nicely too if we had talked about it last week.
But now it's just we're in prime position to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah, which being one, the MVP race, and two, we can talk about the playoffs and how everything's shaping
holy
up right
smokes.
Now.
What a great weekend in the NFC.
Really weird. So I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden, you look up, and it's like, oh, wow. Oh, the Lions actually did, you know, finish off.
Incredible.
Probably the biggest upset all year, too. But, yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll have Is Kyle an Idiot some Packers trivia, and we will have our preview of the Browns game. But first, pick six.
Yes.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six. Yes.
All right, first. Oh. Oof. Well, I guess we'll have to keep that in.
You really enjoyed that one, Spence. Yeah,
it wasn't even my beverage. First, pick six.
Piss, you got it. Yeah, you got it.
Pick six play.
There it oof, is.
Man, stumbling along.
Oh, my God.
So, first one setting up this play. Ravens had a 3rd and 5 first possession of the game. And on that play, Huntley drops back, throws it to Mark Andrews, who picks up 43 yards, gets them in range, which eventually leads to their 4th down, which for how bad the red zone defense was early in the year, it's crazy how at times it's like they're incredibly good because it feels like there was about 10 plays in the red zone on this drive. But facing a 4 and 3 on the Ravens 3, Huntley drops back, runs out to the right, and Devondre Campbell tackles him. Sack, the only sack of the game. They turn it over on downs, keeping it at 0-0. But I feel like it was kind of the message of this game, too. I think Hank jinxed us after last week talking about how you prefer a long touchdown.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to
thinking that exact thing.
A long, methodical drive eventually leading to a touchdown, which just happened over and over, but didn't happen that first series. Mark Andrews still, you know, setting them up, but
yeah, that was really impressive to stand up like that. I think the Ravens got like 2 first downs within the 20-yard line, which I feel like is hard to do mathematically. And then they had a 1st and goal from like the 4-yard line, and to be able to stand up from that position is great. And it, like you said, it was set up by the long gainer from Mark Andrews, which was ominous for what was to come for the rest of the day.
Yep.
He is a very good football player and very much abused the matchup of whenever Kevin King was on him or Savage. Savage had a rough outing to start the night.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about him later. He's, once again, he's just, we're in year four?
Year three
for Savage, and I still don't know what the hell he is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I on that particular play, the long one he had to get in the point of territory, I think he was just late. I think there was maybe some miscommunication pre-snap, and he just seemed to be a step behind for Andrews, and it was an easy pitch and catch. But, rough showing. I mean, Mark Andrews, again, though, is very, very good.
He's an elite player. It's almost like Savage, because, you know, we always hear about how explosive and fast he is. It's like he plays, it's tough to say this exactly with Mark Andrews, but he, like, plays down to someone else's level. It's like, you shouldn't be trailing this guy. You know, I don't. It, you know, you wish Amos almost would have been covering him just because he's more of a bulky guy, but I also don't know what in the hell I'm talking about. So thank you. Your most loud agreeing hums are when I'm saying I'm an idiot.
Right.
Yeah. Moving on to the next pick six play. It was after a Huntley to Andrews touchdown, making it 7-0. At this time, Packers are facing a 3rd and 4. Aaron Rodgers has a pass short and to the right to Alan Lazard to pick up 6 yards, pick up the first down, which eventually led to a A.J. Dillon touchdown. But one of those kind of, you know, there wasn't any big plays on that drive, but it's kind of been what the offense has been the last couple of weeks here, where we're a lot more, you know, in flow with things. It's been kind of up and down at the beginning of the year, but methodical drive, Lazard with a nice catch.
And that was the tough catch he had to, like, stretch out for, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a really impressive catch.
One of those where it's like you had to see the replay almost to see if he caught it, because you half expected it to hit the ground.
Yeah.
The angle he was at.
I was getting, you know, like, vibes from last year where he was just the third down into first down machine. And with tough catches like that, it was good to see that again.
Yeah, and like I said, eventually led to the A.J. Dillon touchdown, which got, like, even off the top of my head, it's like I can hardly even remember what that play looked like, because it was just kind of
there was no stuffing at all, wide open hole and easy six.
Moving on, the next pick six play, once again, I mean, it's just something that happens every week. It is 14-7 at this point. Packers facing a 3rd-and-3. Aaron Rodgers pass out short to the left to Davante Adams. Touchdown, tying the game up. Once again, just another thing that kind of sums up this game, too, where it was more obvious than in other games, but the double coverage on Davante throughout the entire game, and even at the goal line with the one guy matched up right on him and then the other one, like, in no man's land.
Yeah, we talked about it briefly. And it was very weird, the coverage they, because yeah, if you're gonna double him, like, just double him. I like the guy behind the guy who was over Davante, like, just was in no man's land, and just the outside, there was so much room out there. I think they were on the short side of the field too, so Davante had even more room, and just very bizarre coverage there. And I know that the Ravens were missing their entire secondary. I'm sure that had, you know, something to do with it. But I don't know. It looked too easy. Like, I just, like, anyone could have ran that route and scored.
I understand, like, the Davante slant is pretty lethal. I mean, all his routes are. But it's like, if they wanted to run a little out or, you know, kind of fade, it's like the guy, the double coverage was just useless.
Yeah, exactly. Useless is a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yes, I was going to come up with a joke there. Could not think of anything. So we'll just move on to the next one.
Yeah.
After that, so facing a 3rd-and-9, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you just can't not bring this play up. It's the one that has been on replays since the end of the game. Aaron Rodgers passed short the middle to Marquez Valdes-Scantling for 25. That's the one that set it up, but eventually led to an Aaron Rodgers pass up the middle to Marquez Valdes-Scantling for the touchdown, making it 28-17. This is all the way at the beginning of the fourth quarter now. The MVS drive, it was nice to see him step in. Once again, you never know who the number two receiver is going to be on this team week in and week out.
Honestly feels like a great problem to have at this point.
Yeah, it's like a couple players on this team. Like MVS, he could be this guy where, you know, 90 yards and a touchdown, or, you know, you also wouldn't be surprised if he has like two targets,
one catch for 3 yards. Yeah,
right. And this was the MVS drive. I mean, he has the touchdown, which is nice. You don't see a lot of the touchdowns to MVS that aren't bombs.
Exactly. Like it was a slant over the middle, and he actually had to sort of break a defender. Yeah, you rarely see those types of scores from MVS.
More of a refined route runner now, but once again, the play that kind of set it up was that shot right down the middle, the one that we've seen the all 22 of.
I think you're misremembering the one we're talking about. The
touchdown was one play, but to set that drive up was the MVS play, was the one that just whizzed by. Are you sure?
Yeah, because that one was that's why I said when we were watching back, I was like, it's such a waste, because that was the play right before half. And that was like the very first play where he split three defenders.
Oh, God damn it, yeah.
And then he got sacked on the next play, and then, but...
I must have copied the wrong...
But there was... The 25-yard to set up was just a nice in-route. He was wide open, and great catch, because, yeah, we haven't seen that really up to this point in MVS's career, of being able to go over the middle or run nice refined routes and get open like that. So it's good to see him get involved on targets that are not over 40 yards.
Yes. Yeah. Because he didn't, even the long one that he had wasn't the prototypical deep.
Yeah. It was like a corner route. It opened up because Devontae was getting double teamed, and it was just a absurd throw from Rodgers that he makes look so simple, but when you look at it from a zoomed out view, it's absurd.
You see that on the Pat McAfee show today too. He was like, yeah, I didn't even think it was like that impressive of a throw at the time, but then he saw the replay and he was like, oh, okay,
I really dropped it in the bucket there.
Yeah, wow, that was actually something. Moving on, the next pick six play. This is when things started to fall apart. You know, after, you know, it's 28-17 and then the Ravens got the ball back. They turn it over on downs.
Well, yeah,
it was
28-17. They get the ball back and then they go for it on fourth down on their own 30. And then they don't get it. And you think, all right, game over. Because then at that point, there was 8.5 minutes left. And it's like ball at the 30. This offense has been rolling. Like, all right, let's punch it in and get going. But weirdly, it was not over at that
point. Yeah, so of course, that's the time that the Packers just decide to sputter. I think Ross Uglum posted that like the win probability thing actually went down after the Packers made that field goal. It was at like 98%. Then after they chose to kick the field goal, it went down to 96%.
I mean, that does kind of make sense just because I guess logically, like, they went from being up two possessions to being up two possessions.
Right.
And if they would have obviously scored a touchdown, it would have been a three-possession game. So
Yeah. I mean, I wonder when Wayne Larrabee threw out his dagger, because I wouldn't have been surprised if he did it on the fourth and sixth stop.
Yeah.
Right. But so, of course, we had to sweat this one out because the Packers don't always make it easy, kind of like the week before. Against the Bears, too, some subpar teams. But facing a fourth and six on Baltimore's 14. 5:21 left. Huntley passed short to the middle to Mark Andrews to the GB3 for 11 yards, which eventually led to Huntley scrambling the play after that for the 3-yard touchdown.
Kevin King just seemed to be in no man's land a lot out there, especially on that fourth down that Mark Andrews converted. He played pretty soft, and it was tough to see, but a ton of credit to Huntley. He played really well. I mean maybe struggled a little bit in the first half, but when it was, you know, time to bring him back in the game, he was making a ton of plays.
Yeah, it's because I didn't see much of the game last week when he came in against the Browns, but I mean, a lot of people are talking after this too, how he's going to be a hot commodity after this year to potentially, you know, compete for a starting job somewhere else.
Really bizarre how he was undrafted.
Yeah, and that was the big talk too.
And he was all Pac-12 over Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
but I know, you know, we always talk about Justice on Twitter. He's a big Packers fan, but he's somehow an Oregon Ducks fan. So he is familiar with Herbert, obviously. But he always rips about how the coaching staff, like, basically neutered Herbert in college, and maybe that's a why. But still, to win all Pac-12 over at the time was a top 10 NFL prospect, and then to go undrafted, and then to go and then put that film out there.
Wasn't invited to the combine either.
Yeah, the evaluation process for a lot of teams. They definitely dropped the ball there.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I don't know how some teams evaluate. It's, you know, he's brought up a lot, but like, you know, someone like Tim Boyle too, how it's just crazy that he's in the league after throwing, you know, twice as many picks as touchdowns.
Yeah, you look at his college stats and the colleges he went to, and it's like, what has this guy done to be on an NFL roster? No disrespect, but like the numbers weren't there, and the luster of the college he went to wasn't there either, so it's just weird.
Right. Moving on, we'll talk about Huntley later too. The last pick six play, after the Ravens get the ball back and, of course, drive down the field, score on another run from Huntley.
After a horrific punt.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll definitely have to talk about special teams once again later. Hey, big improvement this week, though. They were still bad, but they were better than the week before.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like the bar was in hell.
But the Ravens score, obviously making it 30-31. Elect to go for two. Huntley takes the snap. Kind of a weird play call for how well they're, you know, moving the ball to really just isolate it, to move in the pocket.
Roll out, yeah.
I guess you want to give it to, you know, put in your playmaker's hands, and that one Huntley, who they probably had the option for him either running it in or throwing it to Mark Andrews, but both of them just no chance. Throws that out to Mark Andrews. Savage gets just enough of his finger on it.
Well, it was a weird, very weird play call for, like you said, how well they were moving the ball. And it looked like, yeah, he had two options in that play, throw to Mark Andrews or run it. Like, there was no other option for him to throw to. And, I mean, it was a pretty poor throw because it didn't even need to be defended that well.
Right.
Like, it was just Savage, I think, tipped it, but Stokes would have been there even if Savage – you just imagine if Savage is just not in the play at all, like Stokes is still there able to break it up. I just pretty poor throw and really, really weird play call.
Yeah. And I mean, Andrews was like running out of space on that
right
side of the end zone too. But I got asked the question, you know, it came up today too, the little NFL films had the whole bit, you know, showing Harbaugh talking to all the players, asking if they want to go for it. They elected to go for it. Kyle, I think one, you had to have known they were going to go for two in that scenario, just knowing Harbaugh. But two, would you have gone for two in that situation? I guess one, if you're the Ravens, and two, if you're the Packers, like what would you do in that situation?
Yeah, that's tough. If I'm the Ravens, yeah, I'm absolutely going for that. I have no issue with that. They were so depleted. They really had no business being in that game. And to have a chance to go win it, I don't understand how you could have a problem with the yep. Ravens going for it there. I don't get it. For the Packers, yeah, that's what makes it interesting, because obviously the Packers have much more to lose in terms of, you know, standings and things of that nature. But I think back to the Jeff Janis Hail Mary game against the Cardinals.
Yeah, you have to.
And at that time, I wanted them to go for it. So yeah, I would have been fine with either option. But I would probably prefer to, just go for the win, because with the way that defense was playing, they were gassed. They had let up two straight touchdown drives.
Right.
We lose a coin toss and they're back out there again. So yeah, I would have been fine with going for it. I would have preferred going for it, but would have been fine with kicking the one as well.
It was one of those two. And I agree with both your opinions there too, but I assumed they were going to make it. I was, after they scored, I was like, okay, I know they're going to go for it. They're probably going to score, just because Huntley's been really, you know, a game changer in this game. And I was like, okay, well, we've got one timeout and 46 seconds left.
Yeah. And for him to scamper in, I was like, oh, thank God. At least he's in. Like, all right, we have at least some time.
Yes.
Because, I mean, well, shit, the San Fran game, that was, what, 37 seconds with no timeouts, maybe?
Yes.
So, yeah, that was anything over, well, I guess 37 seconds, I would have been fine with. Because, yeah, like you said, you kind of knew that they were going to go for two there.
Yeah, and, I mean, I was like, oh, it was like, you know, lackadaisical after. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, I guess we won the game. I was not expecting this, but, yeah, that was it. I don't know. I'm glad I had a busy weekend. I had, you know, celebrated Christmas with my family because we're going to California next week. Mm-hmm. So I didn't post the graphic with our score predictions. And thank God we didn't, because we all had pretty big blowouts. I think
if mine was 31-17 though. And
I know it,
I mean,
they
that
looked
would have
good.
Had a chance.
I was wondering too, because at that point I was like, well, maybe I'll post it after the game. But then after what happened, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I do wonder how that game would have went if it were a injured Lamar as opposed to Huntley, because I don't think Lamar really would have done better than Huntley did.
But on that same tune, it's insane to me. Like I shouldn't be surprised at this. I guess I'm really not, but it's rich to see people like, oh, is it time to move on from Lamar Jackson? Should they really give him $30 million a year? And it's like, God, this is just the world we live in. Just people just need to have these piping hot opinions, and it's like, relax.
And I was surprised too that this was the first game that Lamar has missed due to injury.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. I think at least, since he's been in the league, or the last 3 or 4 years, I'm pretty sure that's what...
That's gotta be fake.
I am pretty sure it's true.
Damn it, Hank.
We'd have Hank fact check, but obviously he's not here. But yes, that was the game. Moving on to the review of the game. All right, starting things off with the offense. I figured maybe we could just start off with general thoughts. I already kind of mentioned it, but
MVP.
Well, MVP, we'll talk about that later. It's, once again, such a weird year for even the MVP race because no one's, usually someone's like running away with it. Mm. And even at this point, like, I don't think anyone is. In a different world, maybe like 10 years ago, I think a lot of people would argue Jonathan Taylor.
I was going to say Jonathan Taylor is the only one that really comes to mind.
Right. But we'll talk about all that fun stuff later. But once again, like I said earlier, too, the offense seems to finally be finding this groove that we were looking for all year. And right when the defense seems to be falling out of it, we've talked a lot about complementary football. And it's like the Packers are a great football team, but they're not a good, like, complementary football team. One, the special teams are always bad.
Like, it's always something.
And if the offense is good, you know, the defense isn't as good. When the defense is good, the offense isn't as good. So I don't. Maybe they'll figure it out. I'm not complaining once again because the team's pretty damn good, but just something that I, you know, noticed after literally since Rodgers has broken his toe, the offense has only gotten better for whatever reason. But of course, Aaron Rodgers, stat line for the game, 23 for 31, 268 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was sacked 3 times, but
yeah, he's the most valuable player in football.
Probably.
I mean, he really has been for the last 14 years. So, I love him so much. I'm happy he's a Packer. He'll be back next year and, all is well.
He's really good at like making us think too much about that. Last week, the whole post, like, you know, Pat McAfee, oh, you love being a Packer. He's like, oh, I love playing ball. And then today he says the thing, what was it?
You're either playing in Lambeau, which is iconic, or you're hosting the fucking Green Bay Packers, which I hope you put that as a soundbite in the intro.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. It's hard because there isn't as great of a drop in it, but maybe I'll finagle my way and I'll have to find that audio file.
But yeah, this was a game with a lot of special throws, and thankfully a game that with throws that we don't seem to be taking for granted.
God.
It seems like a lot of these throws are getting the proper admiration that they deserve, especially that one over the middle to MVS. Again, sucks that it was kind of a wasted throw just because he got sacked on the next play, didn't score any before half. But so ridiculous.
The ball he dropped to MVS where he went to the ground catching it to set up his touchdown, which you were talking about earlier, too. I mean, all these just little things that these lollipop throws, the play action passes that he's really been. He said
he's getting so saucy with the fakes. Oh, yeah. real pronounced with them.
It's like after last week when he had the one, Matt's like, oh, you're going to like do that with it. And Aaron was saying like, oh, it's not even me that's really calling. It's like Matt just really likes it. It's like, okay, well,
love it.
You could have like held these play fakes earlier like this as well. But
I'm actually surprised that didn't like spark a Florio headline, like a LaFleur. Is he too controlling of Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say something like, oh, Aaron Rodgers once again going out of his way to lie to to people. This time it's just the defense, you know. Right. But yeah, what once again, Aaron Rodgers since the toe injury, 13 touchdowns, 1 pick, and he's still running too. He had 4 rushes in this game. He had the one that was one of the more. This is egregious, but one of the more surprising plays he's made all year where he ran for 8 yards and didn't slide and just got hit. It was like, come on, man. That was first down. Like, you didn't have to do that.
Was there not a lot of toe questions this week? Because I haven't been really good about catching the post-game pressers. I just kind of see the tweets and the headlines after, and it seems like the past few weeks it's just been toe, so much toe. But I haven't seen much toe discourse after the game this week. So was there not a lot of toe questions?
They do ask him. In fact, I think it was Steve McGargy who asked him post game how the toe is feeling. He said it felt fine. They kind of asked him too about the injection stuff. He wouldn't get into that because they usually, you know, inject him with some type of pain relief before the game. But yeah, it's funny too because I saw like people get all pissed off about how much they're talking about Aaron Rodgers' toe, and it's like they were trying to frame it like Aaron
Rodgers.
Like Aaron Rodgers, well, this guy was saying, you know, Rodgers doesn't want you to forget that he's playing through an injury.
Oh, that, okay,
which
no, not that.
Pisses me off because it was literally like 2 full weeks where he didn't want to say what it was. And eventually he had to, when the COVID toe thing and everything came out.
I love how, yeah, like they bitch about that. Like, oh, Aaron Rodgers won't let you forget. And then after the Bucks Super Bowl last year, Brady's like, oh, by the way, I had a torn MCL. It's like,
that's exactly.
Oh, and that's different. Like, really? Are you sure?
That's exactly what the tweet reference to is. Well, Brady played last year with an MCL.
We
it's like
no idea.
2018, Rodgers literally played with a broken leg.
Yeah.
Like,
if the media would have had a sniff that there was something wrong with Tom Brady's ACL or MCL, he would have been flooded with questions. It would have been the same thing that the treatment Rodgers is getting right now. It's just
stupid. Once again, like anything else now with the internet and as much information as we have, you could have just about any opinion at this point, and there is some amount of information to back whatever it is, no matter how fucking stupid it is.
What angle you want to take it. Yep.
And speaking of stupid things, I'm going to say something maybe stupid here, but I don't think it is.
Okay.
I am really happy that Aaron Rodgers got COVID when he did. With everything else going on right now, and with, you know, right now we're the number one seed in the NFC, it's nice to not have to worry about that, even with, like, the added testing going on, even with vaccinated players, how they're randomly getting tested.
I mean, it kind of does sound like the protocol is changing every single day, though.
It's strange.
But isn't, I think we've talked about this, isn't the protocol in place now that he doesn't get tested until, like, if need be, the week before
the big game,
the big one.
Yes. So that's what's funny, because, you know, now even vaccinated players are getting tested multiple times, but because he's had it, he's not even getting tested. So it's nothing to worry about up until the big game.
And, I mean, it'll be so much fun to engage in those discussions when that comes around. Oh, can't wait.
Yeah, it's kind of nice too, because it's like, well, Devontae's had it now too. Devondre's had
Did
it
he?
Now too.
Devontae?
Yeah, the Cardinals
missed,
game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So it's like, hey, we've got the injury bug and all the COVID.
Damn, if only Bach would have got it a couple weeks ago.
Could you? Yeah, I wonder if you go through. Yeah, it's almost like when he was on the PUP, he should have, like, gone out and just gotten COVID. Anyways, we'll see what happens with him anyways. Moving on, Devontae Adams. I guess we could. Should we start with Devontae or should we start with MVS? Because
I mean, you gotta start with 1-7. Come on.
Okay. Devontae Adams, once again, really good football player. 6 catches, 44 yards. He had the touchdown.
He's also best in the world at what he does. God, I mean, the Green Bay Packers have the best quarterback in the world and the best wide receiver in the world.
And the, you know, the
sometimes
one of the,
I feel like
one
I,
of the best coaches
of
in the world too. It's you know, I kind of want to save this talk for Take News, but it's like, if we're arguing, you know, Aaron Rodgers possibly being an MVP and Coach LaFleur possibly being coach of the year, it's like, when do you stop giving praise? Because at some point it's like, everything's just really good.
It's just a perfect marriage.
You know, like, you can't really just award one person without, you know, thinking someone else is being left out.
But haters will, though. That's what's that's what's fun about it. It's like, they get so mad about who's getting credit that they got to discredit that person. It's just like, we'll just enjoy our riches over here.
Yeah. And then I saw today, too, like, Pro Football Focus said that the Chiefs wide receivers, number one, the Chiefs, they're open. Number two is the Packers, where wide receivers are open like 60% of the time or something. It's like, okay, well, once again, all right, maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't that good. People are just open, or are they open because of Coach LaFleur? And then it's like, oh my God, why didn't we use a first round pick on a wide receiver? You know, so it's just everything kind of in rotation there. But once again, Devontae Adams, really good at football.
What was his stat line again? I don't think
he just had the 6 catches, 44 yards, 1 touchdown.
Oh, 44 yards. Wow.
Yeah, so he was kind of held in check. But when you're,
that was a very loud 44. We talk about like a quiet 132 he's had before, but that felt like a very loud 44. Wow.
Yeah, that's just what happens when you're the best receiver in football. Mm-hmm. Moving on, MVS. Kyle, can we get a couple choo-choos?
Choo-choo!
There we go. Perfect. 5 receptions, 98 yards, the 1 touchdown.
MVS game.
We talked about all the passes ad nauseum at this point, but I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week. I really still don't know what the hell he is. He's kind of like Darnell Savage. I would say he's better than Darnell Savage for what he is. But for the position too, in a contract year, it's like I love having him on the team. But if he went and signed with, I mean, I don't want to put it in the universe, but let's say he signs with like the Chicago Bears, I don't know how good he would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, look at Allen Robinson. He's an older player, but...
Because, I mean, the relationship he has with Rodgers really is beautiful to see. Like, Rodgers has a ton of respect and loves MVS, and obviously, likewise, like, MVS can't go an interview without, you know, saying something along the lines of best quarterback ever.
Right.
And, yeah, I think it's been a long time coming, building that rapport and chemistry. And, I mean, you think back to, like, his rookie year... I mean, isn't it the infamous, like, Rodgers called? He was a part of that rookie class that was called out from Rodgers about, like, piss poor effort and just kind of going through the motions. And yeah, you can't just build that chemistry. Yeah, if he were to go in Chicago in free agency, I think he would definitely not look as good, but I still think he's a very quality receiver. It's just Rodgers elevates him to a new level.
Yeah, you wonder what it would be in a different environment too. And it does, what you're talking about there, it does harken back, because I remember what you're talking about, it Rodgers getting pissed off, and a big thing was like practice. It's like these guys aren't taking practice seriously. They're not, you know, creating habits in practice that translate to the games. And then that's what you heard all this offseason with MVS turning it back on, is he knows how to be a pro now.
Yes.
The way he carries himself is like a professional. I think, you know, if you're paying attention through the few years here, it's like, he's like, you're starting to take it a little bit more seriously.
And I mean,
now.
Shit. And on that same note, like, as much as it helps building chemistry and earning the respect of the best quarterback in the world, he had the luxury of learning and gaining the respect of the best wide receiver in the world in Devontae. So it's like a perfect combination of being able to develop as a receiver. And, yeah, if unfortunately he does go somewhere else, I think he will be a stud, and it's in large part due to the development he had here. Because yeah, if he gets drafted by the Bengals or something, he's probably just,
especially at this point, a few years in that system now with the ups and downs that they've had at least, you know, 3 years ago too. Yeah,
but I love MVS so much.
Moving on, Alan Lazard. You know, kind of whatever game, 2 receptions, 23 yards. We talked about him a bit. We got away with
really,
that penalty.
Really, really jarring drop from him.
Yeah.
And then bailed out by one of the worst penalties I've ever seen. I don't want this to become a Lazard thing, but he did have, you know, I think that game against Seattle.
He's had a couple.
He had that very weird drop, and then I think there was maybe one other game he had a very uncharacteristic drop, so I hope this isn't becoming a characteristic for him. But he did make it up with that great stretch out on the third down. But yeah, just wait and see with Lazard, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, just the way it goes, we've said a bunch now, but he'll probably be the number two receiver next week.
Oh,
just
yeah,
with the way it rotates. Yep. Something else to mention, Juwan Winfrey, he was out there quite a bit. I am interested to see. You know, everyone's in a contract year except for, like, Randall Cobb and I assume Winfrey as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him these next couple of games, to see if they can get him up to speed maybe for having a larger role next year. Because, once again, he just looks the part.
Yeah, and honestly, I was just going to say, 88, such a good receiver number. And I think that helps him a lot. But, man, I love 88.
It does help too, like back in the Reebok days with jerseys, the 88 was a little big, especially like JerMichael Finley, his rookie year.
He was 88?
Rookie year, second year? Yeah. It was, and especially like Bubba Franks, like just thick, bold 88. Yeah. Now it's a little more
tightened up,
skinny,
a little bit.
And it's better on a wide receiver. Moving on to the running backs, starting with Aaron Jones. Sneaky, I think, like his best game of the year. We've said it before, he hasn't had these huge plays, but it's like every time he touched the ball this game, it seems like something positive happened.
Yeah.
13 carries, 58 yards. No touchdowns, but he did also have one reception for 13. We didn't run the ball a lot in this game, but even when
probably with that secondary banged up,
right?
Makes sense.
But like, and then AJ Dillon, he had 7 carries, 22 yards, the one touchdown. We kind of talked about that.
Kind of vultured Jones's touchdown.
Yeah, there, which is weird after the previous week. And then he did also have the one reception for 13 yards. But it's like the first time all year that I can remember where I was like, God, we should be passing the ball more, even though the two backs only had the 20 combined carries. But overall, I don't know. Good enough. I'm the other thing to say about Aaron Jones, he had that touchdown catch, but also on MVS's touchdown to tie. We haven't even really said this. We alluded to it, but Rodgers tied Brett Favre for
touchdowns all times
for the Green Bay Packers. MVS scores. Everyone's celebrating, and then Aaron Jones like doesn't celebrate, runs behind him, picks up the ball to make sure that Aaron or MVS gets it. Apparently, MVS gets to keep the ball, which is
really
cool. Yeah, and Aaron, well, I mean,
oh yeah, I suppose because Aaron's gonna get the breaker.
Yeah, that one's probably a little bit more.
But yeah, wow, what a team! Because yeah, it was cool to see the embrace for MVS and Rodgers, like a jump hug, perfectly executed. By the way, those are hard to do,
dude. Yeah, I mean,
without making it look awkward or weird, very hard to do and flawlessly executed.
Like I struggle with dapping people up. Mm-hmm. You're pretty much dapping in the air at that point with your entire body. So it would be pretty bad. I do like seeing the Lucas Patrick. Who seems to...
Yeah, what were the hand motions he was doing?
Oh, I forgot about that. I was thinking back to Devontae's touchdown where he went up and did the whole Lion King thing. So he's kind of filled in with David Bakhtiari, who seems to be the one who usually grabs the receiver and lets him up in the air.
Yes,
and Lucas Patrick did that in the game. Finishing off with the pass catchers. I mean, God, we could have probably let off with it. Tight end. Big Dog, once again, just this resurgence. 3 receptions, 40 yards.
Honestly,
an animal.
You could have said 3 receptions, 113 yards, I'd believe you. Holy smokes.
In these last 2 games, he had, like I said, the 40 yards in this game. He had like 50-something last week. These individual games, he's put up more yards than he did his entire season in 2018 in Mike McCarthy's offense.
Two of those receptions, he was tackled inside the 5-yard line, which is just so heartbreaking.
That one, it looked like, and we talked about it beforehand, that last one that he had,
he was going up the sideline and then he cut back in. Oh,
that eventually led to the field goal, but I thought that was going to be the record breaker. I'm like, Big Dog hasn't scored a touchdown all year. He's like Rodgers' best friend on the team almost. And for him to run over 5 freaking dudes to score a touchdown just would have made all the sense in the world.
And then on the other one, he was tackled on like the 2 to flash the 37-year-old agility he has. He like caught it, stopped on a dime, spun, and then, got tackled. But that was cool to see. He's still looking spry as ever.
So I wish Hank was here for this question, but you know, with Big Dog, you never know what's going to happen. There could be weeks he has no catches. But I'm going to pose this question to you, Kyle. Who would you rather tackle? Big Dog or A.J. Dillon?
Wow, that is it's got to be... It's got to be Big Dog. I mean, A.J. is just like...
I don't
like,
even...
So Mercedes, like he... He doesn't get tackled, but like I don't get the sense that defenders are scared to try and tackle him. I get that sense when I watch AJ.
I guess.
I sometimes feel like DBs especially kind of like hesitate. Yeah. And there's like this moment of like, please just fall down. Where at least with Mercedes, like, I mean, there is still some, I'm sure, hesitancy among defenders, but like, I don't know. It's just not as menacing. So, yeah, I definitely would rather tackle.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it would probably be easier to tackle him, but
it's a good question, though.
I think I would go with A.J. Dillon because, like, Big Dog is a grown-ass man. And
you'd rather have to tackle...
Sorry, I'd rather have to tackle A.J. than Mercedes Lewis because I think, like I said, he's a grown-ass man and shit and that deep voice and everything. Obviously, that doesn't really come into play when you're playing football. But it's like A.J. Dillon will break your body, but I think Mercedes Lewis would break your soul if you try to tackle him. You know, and that's
you know what? That's fair. But again, I think it just comes down to what I've already seen from NFL defenders, like being legitimately hesitant to try and tackle him. I don't know. I don't know. That's a fair take, though.
Yeah, I guess we'll probably never find out. moving on, someone else to talk about, Tyler Davis, someone that a lot of people probably did not know was on the squad. He's played a lot of special teams all year. We picked him up off the Colts practice squad, I believe, at the end of training camp or after we released Jay Sternberger. But he did have that one reception for 22 yards. He was the second highest rated player on offense, according to Pro Football Focus, too. So maybe we'll see a little bit more from him in the future because he seems like a good, well-rounded player. Yeah, I did not look at the snaps this week.
Yeah, but again, just another pretty ridiculous throw, though, from Rodgers on that catch. It was a double corner blitz, and he was able to loft it over and easy catch.
Yeah, no worry in the world for him. Josiah DeGuara, 3 catches, 16 yards, still just slowly being, you know, looked at more and more every week, it seems like. Finishing off for the offense, not too much to talk about with the offensive line. Rodgers was sacked the 3 times, but once again, held up pretty well against that Ravens team. We'll have to see what it's like next week. I guess we might as well get into it inevitably. We can talk about injuries. Good week for that. No one seemed to get banged up in this game.
Yep.
David Bakhtiari does not sound like he will practice or would have practiced today. I don't think he's going to practice the rest of this week. Same with Za'Darius Smith. Jair is still doing that individual work. But it's getting to that point. And once again, Billy Turner, it sounds like he would not have practiced today either. But with Bakhtiari, Za'Darius, and Jair, we're getting to that point of the season, you know, with only 3 games left, where if none of these guys play against the Vikings, and I don't think any of them are going to play this week against the Browns, they might be done. Because you're not just going to start them in the playoffs when they haven't played Bakhtiari in literally an entire year,
well,
and Za'Darius,
yeah, you are,
only having like 12. I don't think you do. I think you activate them and you like do the shit we did in like LaFleur's first game against the Bears, you know, and switch out like Lane Taylor and Elgton Jenkins back and forth. But if these, you know, we saw what happened against the Saints week one when these guys were cold, and now you're going to do it in the playoffs and you just throw someone out there who hasn't played in a football game in a year.
No, I think that's you might be thinking a little too hard. I mean, if Bakhtiari is healthy enough to play along with Za'Darius, like, they're going to play. That's my thinking.
We'll see. I just,
especially with a bye week, hopefully, in there as the one seed, I just, there's that, even if it's Bach's first start of the year is the divisional round, like, you're not going to not play him, you know?
I don't know.
I think you're crazy.
I don't know. We'll see, because once again, if they don't play, I wouldn't be surprised if they throw them on injured reserve going into the playoffs, because those roster spots are going to be pretty damn important too. So I don't know, something to see. But with that, that's all we've got on the offense. Kylie, you have something else?
Oh, it's just the Rodgers mentioned the 0-yard sack today. It's like the dumbest play you can make as a quarterback. And I just wanted to say that Rodgers, as bad as you feel about that, at least you didn't throw the interception that Kirk threw last night.
Oh, God. Yeah. We didn't even have to.
I'm still chuckling about that.
That's
the dumbest play you can make as a quarterback.
I didn't watch the game. Apparently, Justin Jefferson kind of fell down early on, but it's just like the most confident, terrible throw I've ever seen.
Confident, terrible.
The way he released it, you thought like maybe someone's wide open and there was no one there except for a Bears
player. It looked like a punt.
Yeah, that's right. The screen grab of him pretty much catching it like it is a punt. But with that, we will have a quick break and be back with the defense. All right, moving on to the defense now. Overall thoughts? I mean, like I said before, it's just weird how they went back.
General
and forth.
Thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, let's revisit this quick. I'm not even going to ask a question because it's just kind of obvious now looking back on who the defensive MVP is. We can now say that with certainty that it's Kenny Clark.
Yeah. That argument keeps going back and forth. I was going to get into it with the edge rushers too, but I don't know what the hell it was. And I saw Andy Herman tweet out like the Packers have struggled with this all year, but it really did today. Talking about setting the edge. And I feel like we've been really good at setting the edge like all Preston, year. So Andy.
Cause that's been one of the things that Preston, like he, in the beginning of the year, he wasn't really filling up the stat sheet, but he was always doing that shit to keep outside runs and in and quarterbacks in the pocket. Yeah. I thought that is a weird take.
So I don't know how, I mean, Kenny had to affect that too. And I mean, we talked about it going into the game, how the Ravens have given up like the most sacks in the league just about. And with a young, you know, inexperienced quarterback, maybe Preston was licking his lips, hoping to, you know, make another $500,000, getting another 2 sacks. But kind of weird on that, not setting the edge. And we've reverted to some of this weird miscommunication stuff where on Huntley's first rushing touchdown. We only had 10 guys on the field. And then we had the other play where you saw Kevin King run in as the ball is pretty much being snapped. And not the shit you want to see this late in the year. And I think we talked about it too early on where, once again, Hank just jinxed us last week because it was these long-ass drives. Mark Andrews had that 42-yard reception on the first drive. The second longest reception in that game was 8 yards. Yeah. They had a couple other... They had more runs. They had a couple runs that were like over 10 yards.
Eight?
Literally.
That's actually blowing my mind.
Yeah, one of those where you don't really notice, but
Holy shit.
That's why the offense was like, fuck, you're watching. It's like, oh, God, they're in the red zone. Oh, yeah, I guess they scored.
They scored 30 points, and their second highest completion was 8 yards. That's actually amazing.
Yeah, crazy. And we'll get into it more here now, moving on to the secondary. Eric Stokes, it's been like a tale of two seasons almost, or halves of the season for him. Because early on, and he's been pretty solid, you know, all year. We've talked about his, you know, playmaking ability on the ball.
Oh, where's the butt?
Well, no, it's like a good thing because these last couple weeks, we haven't heard his name much.
Yeah.
Which is great because early on, you know, he was targeted a lot and he's like top five in passes defended in the NFL. He was the highest player on the defense for the Packers, according to Pro Football Focus.
Wow.
And here's something that Dyer Carragher, I don't know how you say his last name, tweeted out. Eric Stokes has allowed just 55 total yards over his last 21 targets. Jeez. It's been 5 weeks since he allowed a catch beyond 8 yards. Stokes had the highest graded game of his career against the Ravens. And yeah, Hollywood Brown, who Stokes has matched up with the most, he finished with 10 receptions. Guess how many yards he had?
Like 52.
43 yards on 14 targets.
The most Jarvis Landry stat line ever.
Yeah. One of those drives, like late in the game, it was like, all right, they're throwing to Hollywood. All right, they're throwing to Hollywood. And it was 5 yards. 5 yards.
8 yards, though. That is still just like, I'm not over that. That's amazing. Eight.
Yeah. Because another part of this, too, the two, guess who the top two leading tacklers for the Packers were on Sunday?
Savage and Campbell.
Rasul Douglas and Eric Stokes.
What? Two corners.
That's what it was, because it was one of those weird games where it's all this short shit that, you know, they weren't getting long yards and they were just getting tackled.
Mark Andrews wasn't getting tackled very much. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, those were the top two corners. Once again, Rasul Douglas was the fifth highest rated player, I believe, according to Pro Football Focus. But nice to see that from the secondary, something that was not nice to see from the secondary. Darnell Savage, we talked about him a little bit earlier too, but God, the negative plays that he had just in the first half. Didn't wrap up on the 43-yarder we talked about. He allowed the 8-yard touchdown to Mark Andrews. He had the 15-yard penalty, that low block, which was kind of bullshit anyways.
Oh, so bad.
And he also allowed the 9-yard touchdown against Mark Andrews.
Which you didn't think could have been OPI. I definitely think that could have been OPI. It was a two-hand extension check.
I don't know.
Could have been thrown.
Those are the flags that if you're calling that, you can call it on like literally every single play.
That was a two-hand arms extended.
I'd rather complain about penalties that weren't called than penalties that were called. That's just the way I live my life, you know, a very, very big deal. But once again, back to Darnell Savage, up and down year. We've talked a lot about him not being able to, you know, complete interceptions either. We're facing a weird offseason with him as well, where he was a first round pick. He's not in a contract year, but it is a fourth-year option.
Oh, that's right. Isn't it a fifth-year option?
Sorry, fifth-year option. Going into his fourth year, it's a fifth-year option. So,
and you have to make that determination before the start of next year?
So it would be this offseason. So, Kyle, would you exercise Darnell's for $7.5 million?
Yes.
Okay. I would not. And I don't think the Packers are going to.
Who are you going to put back there?
I don't care. It's not so much.
We'll see. Now that's just.
Well, who are you gonna put behind Josh Myers at center, Kyle? Who are you gonna have lining up as your number one receiver?
What? Josh Myers is a center.
I know. Well, I'm saying behind him though. I'm saying it's not so much Savage. Well, okay, he's up and down.
So you're more worried about the backup center than a starting safety?
No, that's not what. You're not. You're not well, here.
It sounds like if we do...
I'm saying behind him, as in the guy taking the snap from Josh Myers, which would be Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying the $7 million that Darnell Savage would be set to make then that fifth year, it's tough if you're going to have guys like Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams back on this team. So
cap's going up.
At some point, but not next year, at some point you're going to have to make some sacrifices, and I'm wondering if Darnell Savage is going to have to be one of those, because he's someone I would probably want to move on from. Inside linebacker, Devondre Campbell, once again, great player. Only player with a sack on the day, which was surprising going into it. We thought there would be a lot more, but that was it. Not much else to talk about. I guess Chris Barnes, once again, it's like once a month he has one of those hits where you hear it pop live. He had another one of those where it's like, okay, well, as long as you're doing that to get noticed, I'm fine with it. Rashawn Gary only had the 5 pressures. Same with Preston Smith. We talked about it again. Earlier,
Gary with another classic. I mean, probably had 3 almost sacks again. He's good for at least 2 a week now. You just pencil it in for almost sacks.
And we talked about it last week too. I just don't get it because he doesn't finish like other guys do. He's creating the pressure, which is important.
And it's like there's 3 levels. There's pressure, almost sack, and sack. And he is like he's really good at the pressures. Really good at the almost sacks, and yeah, eventually the sacks should start coming. But man, it's just there's just so many times he's just like there, and then the quarterback just gets out of it. It's very frustrating to watch over and over, but he'll get home
eventually. Yeah, he's still tied with I think he's still underneath Preston for sacks. Whatever, doesn't matter. Defensive line, Tyler Lancaster was the second highest graded player according to Pro Football Focus. He's sneaky had a decent year. You know, I'm not seeing him push back as much as he would, and a lot of times like he is creating pressure, which is not something you're used to seeing with his big old white
pasty
white arms with the tattoos on it. Something else to talk about with the defensive line. I guess Dean Lowry's been good too, but Abdullah Anderson got called up for this game. He was the 3rd highest graded player on defense for the Packers on his 18 sacks. He's a second year player out of Bucknell. Haven't heard about him much at all. I was more so surprised that he got the call over Jack Heflin, who was obviously the big talk of
trash
training
camp.
I wonder if we'll see anything of Jack Heflin or if he's going to go the way of Vic Soto and just kind of disappear come training camp next year.
Look like Tippa. Tippa got a lot of snaps too.
Yeah, he was out there quite a bit. And it's weird how it's like whenever I notice Tippa out there, it's like Garvin's out there as well.
Yeah.
Like, can't we supplement this a little better?
Maybe not have both of them.
And there was the weird play too where Tippa like did not contain Huntley, ran out, and then it was Abdullah who was chasing him. It's like, oh, so this is the poor man's like front 7 right now, not allowing or not doing. Very well up there. I think it was like a 0-yard gain or a couple yards.
Great pull on that. Yeah, it was the poor man's.
Always got to use it when you can.
I don't think we've literally ever used it.
We've,
which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I try to avoid it at times.
Defense.
Yeah. Speaking of poor man's, the last thing to talk about with this game is the special teams. Ugh. So they were bad. I think we can all admit that.
It's so bad.
It's an improvement. And once again, I don't think we can move on from Maurice Drayton. Once again, it's like we hired from within with him. So if we, you know, fired him in season, we would literally be, it would be the 3rd guy, you know, behind Sean Meninga's staff.
Seriously.
Is who would be the coordinator at this point.
There's just no point in firing him at this point. Like, I don't.
And especially in this game, obviously it sucked and this shouldn't happen and they should get coached up on this. But let's look at like the 3 biggest ones. Like there was, you know, a couple shitty returns they allowed. But the big ones were Yadam hitting the returner after calling a fair catch. The muff on the short kick.
Oh,
the
God.
Shank that Bojo had late.
To let them go and potentially tie the game up.
But all of those plays are things that high schoolers know you shouldn't do. You know, so it's like we can blame Maurice Drayton, and we should. But at the same time, it's like you got to know to catch the ball, to not hit the guy, and to not kick the ball out of bounds.
Yeah,
so
it's not like, Drayton is running into the receiver like that. And like, what do you think the nerves and the mindset Drayton has, like, every time, like, the special teams unit's trotting out there, whether it be, like, a punt return or a punt or a kick? Like, he's just got to be, like, thinking like every single person in the stadium is looking directly at me. Like for, he's just got to feel so like, all right, please, 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 please.
It's almost to that point now where us as fans, I know a lot of people, well, God, you've talked about your brother and how he like turns the TV off a kick.
We should just do that for every special.
Well, Maurice Drayton, at this point, it's like he should just close his eyes. I know he's a coach and he has to coach him up, but if he could just close his eyes and just hope, maybe that's something that can change the mojo a little bit. But changing the mojo as well, Shannon Sullivan was the punt returner on that one, didn't muff it or anything. So,
yeah, that was, I don't know.
It's nice to see a confident catch, I guess, on a punt return. I don't know what else to say, but we'll see what happens with that going forward. But yeah, that's all I have for this game. Kyle, you have anything else to talk about?
One seed in hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Well, we'll talk about that next. Quick here, we'll have a break and take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. Might as well talk about this briefly before, I don't know, it might get away from us here. Wanted to talk about it last week, could have been better. But the MVP race and the number one seed might as well, you know, with three games left. Now, yeah, Kyle? Yeah.
Well, so obviously Packers are the one seed right now. They went out. They're the one seed. But with how good of a day it was for NFC, now is my understanding is they can actually afford to lose one of these last three games. It's, like they can go 2-1 and still be the one seed.
So part of it is like, if we're going to lose a game, we'd want to lose against the Brown because it's AFC.
Yes.
But at the same time, what you're talking about too, the Packers have a 78% chance of getting the one seed right now. Do you know who the number two team is?
What?
The Dallas Cowboys. And it's like a 12% chance. So we'd kind of have to fall apart here, but as long as we don't.
I wonder, because I'm sure the NFC, AFC has a lot to do with it, but like I wonder if they.
The Cowboys have a better record against the NFC than we do at this point.
They do?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's one of the things because what, we lost to, who have we lost to? We lost to the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Saints. Yeah, so we have two losses. They only have one loss against the NFC team at this point. But back to the MVP thing, it's something I wanted to talk about last week, and I did not understand it, how going into this past week of football.
God, yeah. This would have been good to record last week because you would look like such a genius this week.
So going into last week, Tom Brady, you know, was the favorite to be the MVP. He was at minus 150 or 120.
He was minus money? No way.
Yes, it was something like that. And for those who don't know how betting works, and this is kind of a weird, you know, this isn't something you do with your local bookie or anything, but it would basically, you look at every bet as betting 100. So with that Tom Brady minus 120, it would be, you would have to bet $120 to win 100.
Right.
When Aaron Rodgers at that same point last week was at plus 500, meaning if you bet $100 and he won the MVP, you would win $500. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to talk about last week, how fucking stupid that was. And it was every book. And I just didn't get it. And there was the whole thing too with after the Bucks beat the Buffalo Bills in overtime before.
Yeah, they went up and then just crumbled away. And yeah, it's like the talks intensified after they almost blew that game.
That they were the best team in the league or the best team in the NFC. And people are still arguing that. And then they go and lose to the Saints once again this week. And You look at who the Bucks have played, and I'm just gonna look it up here. Because
their losses are the Saints twice, I think.
Yes, the Saints twice, and
the Washington football team and the Rams, I think.
Yeah, and this was the stretch they went on with Tom Brady and the Bucks, where they became, you know, the best team in the NFC and everything. So like we said, they beat the Bills. Before that, they beat the Falcons by 13 points. Before that, they beat the Colts, who are a fine team, by a touchdown. Before that, they beat the Giants by 20 points. Before that, they lost to the Redskins, football team. Oops, sorry about that. And then before that, they lost to the Saints again. And this is the team that everyone's saying is like the best team in football with the MVP.
Super weird.
And I just don't understand it. You know, it'll be different now with Evans going down, Godwin going down, Fournette going down, but he's had the same offensive line all year. Yep. The defense has been a little hurt, but...
And not that there's really such thing as any good losses, but like the Packers' losses are way better than the Bucks' losses. Like obviously the Saints, I mean, the one Saints-Packer loss that was, is equal to both the Bucks-Saints losses.
Yeah.
But like the Washington loss, that's awful. And oh yeah, they did get
that Saints game to me. That's a 2020 season. Yeah, game. It doesn't even feel like this year.
Yeah. That was just an extension of the NFC right. Championship.
Yeah, pretty much. But, and you know, so then after last week plays out, obviously the Bucks lose. Brady doesn't look great.
Zero points. Zero points.
So now
zero.
The odds have moved
at
up.
Home.
Brady is still the favorite. Brady is plus 145.
Wait. Right now?
Right now.
Stop.
Yes. Brady is plus 145. Aaron Rodgers is 175.
Book are you looking at?
This was according to the Wynn Casino in Vegas. And behind them, you know, it's...
I simply refuse.
It's Patrick Mahomes, who's plus 1,000, and Jonathan Taylor, who's also at plus 1,000. But honestly, it's like...
I'm sorry. Those lines have to be... There's no way that Tom Brady is still the betting favorite right now. There's no way.
Yeah, he's in...
He's not.
I think it's even in some books, too.
Honestly,
but Brady is...
To the listeners, I think Spence is getting wrong info. I don't have the capacity to look at it right now. My book doesn't... There's just no... There's no way that the public... Because, I mean, that's what the... largely what they base the lines off of is public perception and
correct
what people like and are going to take. There's no way that the public is higher on Brady being an MVP than Rodgers right now.
But it is something to talk about too. And I know this is kind of a touchy subject for some people, especially after all the COVID stuff. But there is that thought that a lot of writers aren't going to vote for Aaron Rodgers. And today I'm McAfee too. And it's like, I love Aaron. And it's like, sure, he said some dumb stuff. He's whatever. Everyone be your own person. But, like, he wore the cancel culture sweatshirt and shit today. Yeah. It's like, dude, it's like, we get it. Yeah. You don't have to keep doing it. Like, whatever. I don't care. But it's the people who hate you, you're just going to make them hate you more.
If that's, oh, God. I hadn't even thought of that angle where it's just, I mean, yeah, I guess, I mean, I did just say it's public perception. And I guess that is a factor in it. But,
yeah,
that's just so illogical. And it's quite frankly infuriating.
Yeah.
It's insulting to football fans to think that Brady is the MVP over Rodgers. Right,
we'll
now.
See. I mean, last year too, it was freaking Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, and they both just fell off. I guess Josh Allen came on hot at the end too, but they just fell off at the end. And maybe Brady will.
Like, it honestly, the top three in order should be Rodgers, Jonathan Taylor, and then maybe Brady. I don't know.
Or I would
maybe
say
some
that's what
third
it
or fourth
be,
guy like. That's a joke.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see how everything, you know, finishes out here. But if Rodgers, you know, if we just kind of skirt along, win these couple of games, say we score like 25 points on average these last couple, and the Colts make the playoffs and everything, and Jonathan, I mean, how many passes did what's his name throw on the Colts on
Wentz?
Well, yeah. Carson Wentz, he threw like 9 balls in their last game against the Patriots. You know what I mean? So it's like, I wouldn't be upset if they gave it to Jonathan Taylor. I would
love that.
Yeah, I would be upset if they gave it to Brady. But if there's
Wisconsin
a year
running back, ooh, actually, yes. Him or Melvin? I don't know.
It's
hard
tough
to say.
But it's like if you're going to do it, it's kind of like that J.J. Watt year almost when Rodgers won the MVP too. It's there's no clear cut quarterback right now. We'll see how it pans out, but. If you give it to Jonathan Taylor, I'd be completely fine with that.
Mm-hmm. But to entertain the thought of Brady finishing over him is angry. Makes me angry.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't think he's going to play that well. With
zero,
Godwin out.
0 points at home in the divisional game. He scored 0 points.
Yeah.
Has Rodgers ever done that?
And that's the that's the shit. Because that's how I got irked too in the first place. And I sent you those clips. I hate Ryan Wood. He is the worst guy on the beat. I don't even think the guys on the beat like Ryan Wood, but he's so fucking pompous. Mm. Like he said before, ooh. I think after the Bears game, after the
we're
Bears
talking about Ryan Wood.
Yes, after the Bears game or after the Rams game, he was like, "You can't, you can't let this happen against the Tom Brady's of the world. And it's like, did you watch the NFC Championship game last year where he tried to give the game away?
He tried so hard.
And it's, I hate everything. It's just, you've got to, these people and their takes, and they've got to be a fucking stick in the mud.
Got to get traction. Yep.
I hate everyone.
But deep breath, Spence.
I know, but you know something I love?
What's that?
It's Colin.
Oh. I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right. Is Kyle an idiot for the week? Kyle, you are a projected 24-15-1.
You mean projected?
There was like 2 weeks where I didn't count and we kind of eyeballed where you were at and I didn't update the little grease board, whiteboard that we have here.
24-15, pretty good.
Yeah, 25. Yeah, because you were 3-0 last week. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, Kyle, are you ready for your first question? These ones are tougher.
Oh.
I actually have four, but we'll see. Okay.
Oh.
Kyle, your first question. How many Packers returned a kick against the Ravens?
Returned a kick.
Returned / recovered.
How many different players?
Yes. For the Green Bay Packers.
This is tough. This is a total crapshoot. So we're talking punts and kick returns?
Just kick returns.
Oh. Oh. I have no idea. How many different... Oh, yeah, because there was Tucker. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Tucker did that little pooch. I guess I'll just go with my favorite number 3.
Kyle, the correct answer is 5.
Oh, wow.
Amari Rodgers was the first kick returner. He got banged up. Malik Taylor came in. He got banged up. So then we put Patrick Taylor back there. And between him and...
Patrick Taylor?
And between him and Jonathan Garvin...
Did Patrick Taylor actually field one?
Well, I mean, Garvin was the guy who fell on it. So either way, that's the third guy. And then we had Aaron Jones return the one kick where we were set up for the hands team. And then A.J. Dillon recovered the onside kick. So we had 5 different Packers return kicks in this game.
Yeah, damn.
There you go.
Forgot about all the onsides or the weird, awkward ones. Damn it.
Yeah, we were Patrick Taylor catching that one away from all of the running backs having a kick return in the game. All right, Kyle. Oh, and one. Moving on to the second question, as it works. Kyle, who was the last Browns quarterback? We'll skip this one for now. Kyle, who were the two quarterbacks the last time the Packers played the Browns?
Brett Hundley. That was the OT winner against Devontae. And
against Devontae.
Or against, what did I say?
Against
Devontae game winner against the Browns.
Ran out of the tunnel.
Yeah. I don't know. Fuck, I don't know who the backup was. This would have been 20.
Who is the Browns quarterback?
Oh, shit. I think it was Brian Hoyer.
It was DeShone Kizer.
Damn.
It was DeShone Kizer in that game. There's
Damn it.
Yeah, so two Packers legends played in that game. There's you could buy a pair of practice shorts, DeShone Kizer's practice shorts on eBay. They're $80. I've thought about it.
$80.
It has like his name on it. I'm like, this is just so funny and stupid. I mean, it's kinda... like, and I'm like, I would wear them.
I'd
it's probably good quality.
Yeah,
you practiced in them. That's kind of cool.
I probably don't fit in them.
Yeah, well, I think they're like large or extra large, and I think I'm to that point in my life where I could probably sneak in there. But okay, damn Kyle. It. 0-2. Okay, there's two different ways I can go with this. I added this one. We'll do this. The other one I don't think you will get. I think this is easier. Kyle, so Aaron Rodgers obviously tied Brett Favre for the most passing touchdowns in Packers history. On Sunday, he will break the record on Saturday this week. Kyle, has Aaron Rodgers thrown a touchdown to a player that isn't a wide receiver, running back, fullback, or tight end?
This year?
In his career.
Should have had one with Julius Peppers. I can't think of any like O lineman plays. I'm gonna say no.
Very good, Kyle. Nice. He has not. Yeah, kind of. I would have. You know, it's one of those where I'm like, well, he must have. And then like once you think, you're like, wait a minute.
Remembered an O lineman touchdown.
You could have
definitely would have remembered the Peppers one, which still salty about.
I know once again Mike McCarthy having one dumbass primetime game for everyone. He's always had one stupid ass play rolls out there, and yeah, you know, I was thinking like Julius Peppers.
No, salty or, that it wasn't completed. Not
well,
salty
yeah, that
it was
too.
Called.
I guess, but we got like shellacked in that game. We lost by like 30 fucking points, and we're like, oh, let's throw one at Julius Peppers. But like B.J. Raji never had one either. I just remember way back in the day when Mark Tauscher had a touchdown catch from Brett Favre, did a Lambo leap, and then they called it back.
Oh.
So, yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll have one of these for how many offensive linemen we've had to go through this year.
I mean, well, Big Dog, I guess, is
he's
as effective as an O lineman.
Yeah,
honestly, he could probably play. He could probably play right tackle.
Oh, yes, he would be better than some of the guys like Don Barclay or shit that we've had in the past. But yes, very good, Kyle. 1-2 for the week.
Damn.
One bonus one here before we talk about the Browns. I don't think you get this, Kyle. Who was the last Browns quarterback to beat the Packers?
Wow. I mean, they only play every four. So 17, 13.
Would you like the year?
Yes.
2005.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not getting this one. Tim Couch.
Hey, he was a Packers legend, too. He might have actually been with the Packers in 2005. But no, it was the legend Trent Dilfer.
Oh.
Was the quarterback in the
Brown?
Game.
Ugh.
Yeah, guess one of the Packers that scored in that game. One of your favorite Packers.
2005?
A legend, a wide receiver.
Javon Walker.
Ooh, close.
Robert Ferguson.
Yeah, Robert Ferguson. Once again, go back to the Tom Grassi episode if you don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, talking about the Browns there, Kyle, we can go right into the preview. We are playing the Cleveland Browns Saturday at 3:30 at Lambeau.
I'm so excited for this. Just be hanging out with the fam. It's going to be a nice Christmas day and just have some... maybe some coffee with some Baileys in there. And it's just going to be so wonderful. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be weird because I'll be in California watching that game. Mm. So a Christmas...
Oh, so you won't even get the
Christmas
snow
game
vibes.
At Lambeau watching. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, I do like the Christmas event games too. Packers are 7-point favorites at home. 44.5 over under. The Browns are the Browns. They are 7-7 right now. They're obviously going through the COVID.
Absolutely ravaged by COVID.
Yeah, and it's funny too because it's JC, right? JC Treader, former Packer.
Oh, yeah, he's like the NFLPA.
NFLPA guy, and they obviously push back. A lot of weird Packers connections here because drafted by the Packers, he was a good interior offensive lineman for us. He's with the Browns. Players Association lead rep right now. They pushed that game back, and Casey Hayward, a former Packer, like quote tweeted, you know, what pushing the games back. And he's like, oh, I wonder if this has something to do with Treader being the head rep for the NFLPA. So all that going back and forth, whatever. It's weird, too. I've thought of this before. So Treader was at when he was a rookie in minicamp, he broke his ankle. I'm not even sure if he signed his contract at the time, but it's weird how he had that kind of weird, like very much a player's, you know, NFLPA type deal, you know, getting injured during mini camp when you're not really signed. And now he's like the head of the NFLPA. I wonder how much that came into play when he, you know, chose to go that route and head
that's
up.
What a path what kind of journey that must have took to, like, what kind of strings he had to pull to become the NFLPA. Cause it's not like he's like an all-pro caliber player.
He's pretty solid. I know he might have been voted.
Yeah, I didn't know how to word that because I know he's good, but
yeah, he's someone I kind of wish we would have hung on to him because he could play center or guards, and that's like when we went through the Byron Bell year, I believe.
Yeah,
but he's also a really smart dude too. I think he went to Duke or something. He went to one of those nice smart person schools. But anyways, whatever. Back to the Browns. Their offense, I don't know, the Browns are the Browns. They're 29th in points, 5th in rushing yards, 26th in passing yards. Baker Mayfield should be their quarterback on Sunday. He's got 13 touchdowns, 7 picks on the season. He's been sacked 29 times and has a pass rating of 90. Their lead running back is Nick Chubb, one of the better backs in the league. Just went over 1,000 yards this past week and has an average of 5.4 yards per carry. and their pass catchers, I mean, God, nobody had. So Donovan Peoples-Jones is their top receiver. Guess how many yards he has on the season?
412.
478.
Oh.
You know, everyone's kind of in that same range. You know, obviously, I mean, they moved on from Odell Beckham Jr., obviously, and they really don't have any other weapons as well on that team. Defense, right middle of the road, 15th in points, 8th in passing yards, 9th in rushing, and 4th in points per play. Myles Garrett is, you know, running for Defensive Player of the Year, 15 sacks on the season. They also have Clowney, who is 5 on the season. Denzel Ward is their top corner, you know, Pro Bowler as well, mm-hmm. and he has 3 picks on the season. So, you know, kind of a, I don't know, it's hard to even envision this game. You know, if it's one of those where if we were playing it in Cleveland, I'd have some weird, like, trap game vibes. But with it at Lambeau on Christmas, well, the Packers can't lose this game, yeah, can they? Well,
and we just don't know who the hell is going to be active for them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this Browns team is just weird. Like, a ton of hype coming into the year.
They started pretty hot, too.
Really talented roster, but just haven't. I mean, I think maybe Baker is one of the reasons they've struggled to put things together.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just a weird team. Myles Garrett is a mammoth, though. He's a game wrecker. Yeah, I'm not too worried. I'm surprised. I guess a seven-point spread makes sense, but I wouldn't be surprised if it got up to like 7.5.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. It'll be interesting to see where the sharp money goes mm-hmm. on Saturday. But it's weird because it's like you look at what the Browns are and the strength is Myles Garrett, but I'm just thinking of, you know, we have a weakness kind of right now at offensive tackle. But we have all year, and we really haven't had a game where that mattered. You know, right. You think that's such a mixed match if, you know, lining up against freaking Yosh. But once again, it's like Rodgers is just getting the ball out so quick. And with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, mm-hmm. the pass rush has just not really gotten home for most teams yep. this year.
Yeah. What are your general thoughts on...
Well,
the outcome.
I guess something else to talk about, too, is MVS did test positive for COVID today.
Right. We didn't even mention that yet.
Yeah, I mean, we usually don't get into that.
He's pretty much out.
I saw Tom Silverstein tweet that it's possible that he, because he is vaccinated, mm-hmm. he's been in press conferences in person, so he could test negative twice and still play in this game. Kenny Clark should be back for this game, but I don't know. It's so weird, too, with this. All the COVID stuff too. Like there's been talks of possibly allowing vaccinated positive COVID players who are asymptomatic playing in games in the future. And it's just like, I don't know what anything is anymore.
I'm not spending the energy to try and keep up with the protocols. Right. I'm just going to look at who's active and who's inactive on Saturday afternoon. And that's it.
Yes. But with everything that they had this past week where like a large portion of their roster was on, you know, the COVID list, where it's like, okay, let's have some really quick hellos and goodbyes at the end of this right, game yeah. on the field.
Yeah, no jersey swaps.
Yeah,
no.
none of that. Just get through it because we don't need that shit running rampant through the Packers locker room. But yeah, Kyle, this game, I don't know, Christmas... I go back to, you know, I feel like we're going to win this game. I'm sure we will, but I don't want to get those, you know, I think back to, I don't know if it was Thanksgiving or Christmas when Favre came back and we lost to the Bears.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of get those negative vibes, but that's just not going to happen. It's not the Brown, like Baker Mayfield, there's no way he's going to come
Even
in
if
and
he does
play well.
Play. Yeah. Like I'm not worried.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, we still put up 30 points a game last week. I think I thought we were going to score 33 or 34, but I'll roll with that again. I'll say the Packers are going to win this game. You know what? I'm going to steal. I think this is what you had last week. I'm going to say the Packers are going to win 31-17.
Okay. Very nice. Football.
Kyle?
I think Myles Garrett is questionable to play. I'm not sure if it's injury or if it's COVID related, but I did see that his status is unknown, and I think that is one of the biggest catalysts for this game. So if he doesn't play, I think it could get very ugly. And so I'm just going to assume he is not playing.
Okay. Okay.
And let's go with a nice 38 point drubbing. 38-21.
Okay.
Good guys.
Okay. Who's scoring the Browns touchdowns?
Chubb, and then Hooper.
Okay. Oh God, I forgot Hooper was. That's, you know what, that's what we're going to do for like Take News next week. I want to revisit all of the guys that we, you know, you see the blogs, like free agent targets for the Green Bay Packers. So it was Julio Jones and Odell Beckham Jr. and Austin Hooper, all this shit. It's like, we don't need to
give me Babito and the Messiah.
Yeah. Okay, Kyle, do you want to ask?
Yeah, no, yeah, you
okay, go ahead. Cool. Well, so I didn't post the graphic last week. I'm just going to double up because, you know, it is December. The December has got to come out of hibernation. You know, he was on the COVID list. And what a better time than Christmas for him to, you know, be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Bear.
Yes.
Come in.
Ooh, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Bear.
Right. Yeah, sounds really good. 2 sacks, forced fumble, Kenny Clark. That is my bold prediction for this game.
Okay,
Kyle,
Kenny.
What is your bold prediction?
I'm going to go with, he's popped up on BPs before, but, you know, we've talked about he's getting more and more involved as his role has expanded. He kind of quieted down a little bit, but I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Josiah the Messiah.
Yep.
With a touchdown and 50 yards, but the touchdown
okay.
The touchdown is number 443.
God, yeah, I'm wondering too, because I was like, Winfrey, he came in the game late in the red zone. I'm like, what if Winfrey's first career touchdown is the record breaker? Because then it's like, what do you do with that ball? Obviously Rodgers is probably going to get it, but it would be interesting to, you know, that would be some form of some narrative after the game.
Yeah, I really hope Big Dog is 443 though. I really hope so, just so he's etched in Packers. Yeah. I mean, he already is etched in Packers. Well,
why don't we do that prediction then? Do you want to take Big Dog? Who's gonna catch the?
Well, I kind of just took Josiah.
Okay, so you
but I want Big Dog to do it. I mean, I guess we can separate the two.
Yeah, that's
all
what
right.
I'm saying.
So I'll say Big Dog.
Okay, I think it's gonna be Lazard.
Ooh,
because you know what's gonna happen. He's gonna catch it. He's gonna carry the ball or whatever. He's probably gonna hand it to Rodgers, and he's gonna do his little crown thing to him. That's what's gonna happen. That's gonna be the fucking photo you see in all the little, you know, commemorative things in memorabilia.
I think that was Devontae where he got down on one knees and he held up the football like it was like a treasure or something.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool too.
Okay. Well, God, I just can't wait to see.
I'm so excited. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah. That's more important than the game. It's who catches it and what's going to happen afterwards.
But let's win first and foremost.
You remember what Favre did when he threw his to break the record? Well, to break the touchdown record, I should say, at the Metro.
Oh, he picked up, it was Driver, wasn't it?
Jennings.
It was Jennings?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Because I was at the Chargers game where he tied the record.
And I think he did the same thing.
And it was like a slant over the middle. But because he broke it in the Metrodome, didn't he?
Yeah, because they had like Dan Marino up on the screen in the Metro. And it's funny how they did that back in the day. And now they couldn't give a shit less because it's like Brady and Breeze going back and forth for the longest time. But yeah, he picked up Greg Jennings, threw him over his shoulder. And that was the putter in the old vice with Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. So I wonder if he'll be mic'd up and we get like, that'd be so stupid, but we get something between him and Jordan Love in this game. Once again, creating fake narratives as a dumb fan. But with that, everyone's favorite part of the episode, if you could please leave a 5-star review and for all of you out there, there's a huge, huge update on this. You know, I've heard people, you know, email in and say this in the past. Starting now, If you listen on Spotify, they do have ratings.
Ooh.
And I guess they've got a pretty cool thing going on, too, where you can't leave a review unless you've listened to, like, multiple episodes.
Nice.
So go in there if you want. Leave a 5-star rating. That'd be pretty cool. It's very early on for ratings on Spotify. Mm. So do you that. Really, get our name up there.
Yeah,
that'd be
you
cool.
You shouldn't really frame it as if you want. Like, this should actually almost be a requirement as a listener.
Yeah, come on. It's Christmas time. Don't you want to give us a gift? We give you a free gift every week listening to...
And it costs
these
you
two very intelligent people talk about the Green Bay Packers.
Well-adjusted Packer fans. Yeah.
Well, that should have been the name of the podcast, Well-Adjusted Packer Fans. But yeah, leave a 5-star review. It takes you 2 seconds. That would be really cool. Even if you leave a review, take a screenshot of it, email it to us on pppodcast@gmail.com or DM it to us on Twitter at pmppod, and we will send you a free koozie. I believe Hank got
the card sent out.
The cards, seven days of Hankmas out, so or 25 days of Hankmas out. So look for that. But even now, I mean, we'll send you a koozie if you leave a review or rating. But yeah, shit. I guess that's all I have this week. Oh, good. Hey, we're right about 1:30 here, so that's what we're always shooting for. Kyle, do you have anything else? Any Christmas thoughts or Packer thoughts to
Merry Christmas,
leave everyone
happy holidays, whatever you celebrate, enjoy time with your family. Mm-hmm. I know I will. Yeah, one seed went out, and road goes through Lambeau, and yeah, I really want to do it this year.
Yeah,
as I do every year, but this year is particularly urgent just because of the whole quarterbacking situation.
The whole everything situation going on and Devontae too. I will say this, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I will. If the Packers make the playoffs, I'll go to a game this year, and depending on how the matchups go.
Yes, Benny.
Because Kyle, we don't need to say it out loud, but every regular season game I've been to at Lambeau, the Packers haven't blanked. So if, say, we pull a nice card for the divisional round, I think I would want to go to the championship game.
Yes.
And if I go there,
yes,
hopefully I would be
the lucky charm
to get us through there.
I am more than okay with giving you that title as long as the job gets done.
Okay, so everyone will have to thank me if, you know, we get to the big game.
But hey, there's another side to that sword as well. So,
yep. So
just consider that.
We'll see. But with that, now Kyle, I definitely don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
I do not.
All right. Well, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Go Pack, go.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. It just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month, then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. And I said, hey now, little baby, I'm gonna be put down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here. I got a 6-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. You can take the job or shove it, cause I ain't working here no more. Cigarettes.